the pleasures of loving God. I've said this before, but sometimes when you talk about the pleasures of God, people have a puzzled look on their face. The pleasures? Or when I say God is pleasurable, there's some people that will look at you funny. But when you get to know Him, amen, when we're getting closer to Him, we're being drawn into His goodness, you can't help but know how pleasurable, how delightful He is. God is good. And folks, God is not good just because He gives us stuff. You know, a lot of people say God's been good to me because they have, you know, a big bank account or, you know, nice clothes to wear. Well, that's a good thing. And I believe God does bless people with stuff. Would you agree? But it's not about the stuff. It's about the heart of the one who gave the stuff. It's about you and I coming to Him in intimacy, having a relationship with the living God. And you cannot have a relationship with the living God and not be changed. When you've had a real encounter with God, you will be changed. And there's definitely a witness in here today about that. In John chapter 15, I'm just going to go to verse 11 because of time. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." The Lord gave us instruction. He instructs us in righteousness for the purpose of bringing us into alignment with Himself, so that He may give Himself to us. And we're not asking for things from God, such as joy and peace and love. What we need is God Himself, who is love, amen, joy and peace. So what we want is to encounter Him in His person and not ask God for a list of things that we want as if they were separate commodities, amen? As if we're going to some divine vending machine, you know, putting in the prayer coin and pulling the slot, you know, and something's going to drop out. That's good. Now, God does bless us with good things, but it's not, again, about the thing that we get. It's about the heart of the one who gave the thing. God blesses us so that we may look beyond the blessing to the one who gave the blessing, that we may come into union, into communion with Him. And Jesus has made it possible for us to have intimacy with Him. How many would agree that by what Jesus said right here, that it is His purpose that your life would be full of His joy? He wants us to be full of joy. Heaven is a place of indescribable joy. There is no sadness. There's no death. There's no sickness. There's no pain in heaven. Amen? It is a perfect environment. It is a holy environment. And so what we want to see is heaven come to earth. And we do that through faith in God, who has promised that if you ask anything according to my will, I will hear. Amen? We know that Father wants to give good gifts unto His children. He wants to give the Holy Spirit to you. So understand that it's not some beggar pleading for bread. Are you with me? But we're coming as sons and daughters before our Father, amen, whose good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. And before you can even understand the kingdom, you've got to have the King. It's not about stuff, folks. It's about Him. It's about the greatest commandment of all, which is to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Amen? Amen. And how do we love God? You love God when you have an encounter with God, and the revelation of His love is revealed in you. Amen? When you have an encounter with the love of God that changes you, that creates in your heart a desire, a hunger, a thirst for His presence. Because you experience the pleasure of God. which is something far greater than anything this world could offer. And the reason why, I'm going to say it once again, people are getting hung up and hooked up in so much stuff is because they're not understanding the superior pleasure of God Himself. The Most High God. Amen? And we have a privilege and an opportunity through Jesus Christ to come in to His presence and to receive everything that we need. God's not holding back from you. God wants you to come in to His banqueting room. He wants you to come into the wine room. We're going to talk about that. Where you can receive. In that intimate place where only special guests were allowed to be. The wine cellar. Come on down. I want to show you my collection. And that's why we're instructed not to be drunk on the wine of this world. Because when you experience the superior wine of the love of God, come on, the wine in this world has nothing that I want. I don't need it. You've heard it said, and I say it again, if you want to get high, you got to go to the Most High. How many would agree that Jesus is happier than we are? In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, it says, but when He again brings the firstborn into the world, the Father brought Jesus into the world, He says, let all the angels of God worship Him. How many know Jesus is not equal to an angel? Amen? He is the Son of the living God. And of the angels, He says, who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But verse 8 says, but to the Son, He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. It's His authority. And you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy more than your companions. Who has the most joy? That's right, but Jesus, right? And the reason why we have joy is because we have the joy giver living on the inside. And we have access to that place of intimacy with God in the wine room. Hallelujah. Folks, God wants His people to be inebriated, filled, amen, to capacity with Himself. He wants you to be full of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be possessed with His joy. Because religious demons will try to rob you of joy by placing you in a prison of performance. An obligation rather than a commitment of love. I got to do this because if I don't, this is what's going to happen. How many know that you cannot be in a healthy relationship unless there's consent with both parties? There has to be an agreement. There has to be a desire from both parties before there can be true intimacy. And so, in order for us to desire God, to desire His presence, we must taste and see. We must have a sample of how good God is. Is it not the samples that God gives us of His goodness that compel us, that motivate our hearts to go towards Him? Isn't that what happened to Adam when he had sinned? He didn't run to God, he ran away. Because that's what sin does. Sin brings shame. And when we're feeling ashamed, we want to go and hide. Aren't you glad that Jesus solved that problem? That He not only died to take away your sins, but to take away your shame as well. When you have a clean heart, when you have a brand new start, a brand new beginning, and when you've experienced an encounter with the living God, when you've tasted and seen how good the Lord is, it draws you into Him. And so that is not out of obligation, out of some kind of spiritual thing or a religious thing that you do, but it's a spiritual a commitment of a heart full of love to God. God wants us, He desires us, He wants us to come to Him with a willful heart. Are you with me today? He doesn't want us just to come to Him and continually just ask Him for stuff. I've been guilty of that, have you?
Yes.
So the only time that He hears from us is when we have our list of things that we want. What God really wants, folks, is for you and I to experience His pleasure. And you know what? The devil does not want you to get this revelation. He does not want you to understand how pleasurable God is. And so he sends out deceptive demons that lie to you and tell you God is boring. Come on. That God is just mean and angry. That God doesn't really love you. That God doesn't care about you. You're going through a hard time, those demons come up and say, God doesn't care about you. Come on. What God is saying is, I'm right here. Whatever you need is right here. Come in to the wine room of my presence and drink deeply until you had your full and you go away. It doesn't matter what's going on in your atmosphere, in your environment. You can change your atmosphere if you're filled with God. Amen? And you can have such joy even in the midst of difficulty. You can experience God's pleasure because He gives you access to Him. There are also certain people who want you to keep you and I sober and depressed. And it's because they don't have the joy of the Lord. Come on, you know, I can deal with the Christians. It's just those church folks I can't deal with. Isn't that true? And because they don't have the joy, they don't want you to have it either. Misery loves company. And if you hang out with miserable people, guess what? It's going to influence you. So hang out with these Jesus junkies. We're addicted to Jesus. When you're addicted to Jesus, you won't get addicted to anything else. When you find that your pleasure is derived from Him who is the ultimate pleasure, the ultimate joy giver, exceeding joy, when you experience exceeding joy of God, then the lesser things lose their luster. Even stuff, you find you don't care about stuff anymore even. You just care about more Jesus. Experiencing the reality of the living God in your life. Oh. The psalmist in Psalms 43 and verse 5 said, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me, troubled? Hope in God. The psalmist is speaking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? He says, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. The first thing he said in chapter 43 and verse 3 is, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. The first thing we need is revelation. We need light. We need truth. We need to have our eyes opened up to realize that God actually loves me. That God really does love me. That God is in love with me. So much so that He went to the cross for me. That I could be reunited to Him. And He wants to give you of Himself. And when you experience Himself, you are experiencing the ultimate in pleasure. The ultimate in joy and peace and love and fulfillment. Joy is not a thing. God is our exceeding reward. He says, verse 4, I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God my God. You know, Moses prayed in Exodus 33, verse 18 and 19. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Verse 18. Was that a wrong thing to ask? No. How many want to see God's glory? I hope you do. And the Lord said in chapter 34 and verse 6 that it says that God's goodness passed before him. God's goodness. God is good, folks, not just because of stuff, but because of who He is. How many would believe today that God is really sweet? That He is really desirable? That God is pleasurable? Now, if you're just coming into church, for example, and you sit and you're watching somebody else worship, and maybe deep in your heart you're even being critical of them and saying, now look at them acting up like that. Look at them dancing around like a chimpanzee and swinging that flag around. Who do they think they are? I don't know why I looked at you when I said that. I always encourage her in that because you know what? She is free. I see the heart of David here. And it's just contagious. She's not hung up. She doesn't have a religious bone in her body. She loves Jesus, and that's what it's always been about. Loving God. I love God. I mean, I really love God. Because God is so delightful. God is so sweet. God is so really good. Not because I had a good day. I said, well, God was good to me today. God's good all the time. Because when He's not, we have a bad day. And people say, God's not being good to me today. Come on. God's always good. And God wants us to have intimacy with Him. You know, we all desire goodness. We desire pleasure. We desire lasting love. How many desire lasting love, right? And how many know that only God can fill your deepest longing? Only Jesus can truly satisfy your soul? You know, if you're looking in the wrong places, you're not going to find it. If you're looking in the world for satisfaction, just like the Rolling Stones song out a few years back, I can't get no satisfaction. Well, that's true. Not in the world, you can't. But you can in Jesus, in Christ. How many have realized that money, fame, popularity, good looks, so I don't have to worry about that one. Not even a good job and family, come on, is going to truly satisfy your soul. There are people that seem to have everything together in this world. They have all the money and everything seems to be in its order. If you look at them, everything seems to be so cookie cutter perfect in their life. But inside, they're just dead. Inside, they're just dying. And they're crying out for what is it all about? It's about Jesus. One word, one name. God's calling us to draw near to Him. How many have realized that you can draw near to a God who you know is really in love with you? And who you know is really good and really sweet and really pleasurable, really desirable. That kind of God, amen, you can love. Come on. Now, is God a God of anger and God of wrath? There's times when God gets angry. There's times when God's wrath, amen, comes down. God's judgment falls. And God has every right to get angry, especially because Jesus Christ, amen, His Son, was given up for the world. Amen? And God is poured Himself out. Jesus poured Himself out as a love offering for us. Folks, it was a love offering that was poured out for us. Jesus was a love offering. And when people reject such a great salvation, such an offer of God's pardon for the purpose of bringing you back under His roof so that you may experience the ecstasy, the joy, the pleasures of His presence once again. Because God is holy, He cannot accept unholiness. Amen? He cannot tolerate sin. Therefore, Jesus took care of the sin problem. It's already been done. The price has already been paid. It is finished. What we need to do is choose. Choose this day who you're going to serve. You need to choose the Lord. It needs to be consensual. That Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. Jesus poured Himself out for me. I want to know this Jesus. I'm coming to this Jesus. Amen. I'm not coming to the Jesus that the preacher told me about that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Come on. But I'm coming to the Jesus, the God of glory, who became a man. Amen. And was received up into glory again. And ever lives to do what? To pray, to intercede on behalf of you and I. Why? Because He loves you. Because He's not willing that anyone should perish either. For God so loved the world. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 4 in the love poem. The Shulamite speaks to her beloved. And I believe this is a picture of Jesus in His church. And it says in verse 4, He brought me to His banqueting house. And His banner over me is love. You know, it literally means it's like the house of wine. It's like taking someone into your intimate place in your home that you would only allow privileged guests to go. How many know that God is inviting you to that place? Amen. This is a special place. It's a place of intimacy in the Spirit where we drink of God's love. It's where we drink of His pleasures. And in verse 4, it goes on, it says, His banner over me is love. This is signifying this bride's entrance into this banqueting place, this banqueting house, in a grand, stately, majestic manner with flying colors. Flying colors. And His banner over me has an inscription on it, and it's called love. Do you see the picture of the bride coming in this grand, stately, you know, majestic way, being abundantly welcomed in to the place of intimacy with a banner, full flying colors. His banner over me is love. And it's because of the love of God. That we can come in to the holy place. Into the intimate room. The wine room. Where we can drink deeply. Be inebriated in the love of Christ. Intoxicated in His love. So the world no longer has me. I'm in love with God. And God's in love with me. That's what God wants. He wants love. He wants you to love Him. Because He's so in love with you. Communion with God is a special privilege provided by our Lord Jesus Christ by His shed blood. The first miracle Jesus did, remember, was turning the water into what? Wine. This was a wedding banquet, folks. This was marital wine. This is the wine of intimacy. God wants intimacy with us, and He's inviting us in to that secret place. Jesus began His ministry with wine, and He concluded His earthly ministry with wine as well, the Passover wine, that He was going to be poured out for you and for me. And the host at this banquet And John 2:10 said, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. Folks, I want you to believe something today, and I believe it's completely scriptural, that God is not saying, just have a little. The problem is that we don't have enough. Why so many Christians are in bondage even is because we're not staying filled up. We don't have enough. We're not getting drunk enough. God knows how to throw a party. He's an overabundant God. He came that we may have life and life more abundantly. When you are filling yourself up in His goodness and delighting yourself in God and experiencing the joy and the ecstasy of the pleasures of God in your life, then the inferior things don't have a pull on you anymore. It's about pressing in. I'm pressing on. Oh, I've got my eyes on You, Jesus. I'm pressing on towards the prize. Hallelujah. In chapter 5 of Song of Solomon, verse 1, to the friends of the bridegroom, it's the latter part of the verse, he says, eat, O friends, drink. Yes, drink deeply. And the King James says what? Drink abundantly, O beloved ones. He's not talking about a dab will do ya. Amen? He's saying, drink until you are filled and overflowing. And when we are intoxicated in the love of God, then the love of the world, the love of money, the love of other things will lose their luster. You will find that there is nothing in this world that can compare to the glory of God, to the goodness of the Lord. As the Lord passed by and Moses, amen, was able to see the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. We got to get that perspective of how good God is. And that He is desirable, that He's pleasurable. You see, the devil has lied, especially he's lied to a lot of young people today, and he's told them that God is boring. He's lied to them, and he's robbing them of what they could have, what they could experience that will completely blow their earthly mind. We cannot contain all of God, folks. Amen? Not even close. But there's times when we've just had so much and we're just like taken over, if you will, by the goodness and the glory of God that, hey, life is good. Life is good in the God zone. And all you got to do is remember, when you're going through it, get in the God zone. Amen? Yeah. Stay there. Yes. But you got to get into the God zone. You got to get into the place of intimacy. You need to come in and have another drink. Have another drink. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God does not want His people miserable. There are people that actually think that, you know. That religious demon has lied to them. Now, we do live in a sin-sick, broken world. And it's not going to always be easy in the world. You will have tribulation. But he said what? Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We have a living, resurrected Savior who has overcome the world, who said be of good cheer. Why? Because we're allowed to come to Him and to fill up on Him so that we can get cheery. Even in the midst of a broken, sin-sick world, you can be cheery. And if you're not, get in and have more, all right? Get more of Jesus in your life. If you need to fast and pray for a season, do it. But get filled up in God, amen, and let the junk out and let the good in. Yes. Hallelujah. Quit putting garbage in. Put the good things in. God's inviting us to His banqueting table. Remember the song we used to sing? He brought me to His banqueting table. His banner over me is love. How many really understood what that was talking about? I when I was a kid, I didn't. It's just a cool song we used to sing, you know, but I thought it was cool. Well, it's an awesome song because it's an awesome message and it's a reality, a very present reality that this is not just some theory. Amen? But God is real. And He's real pleasurable and real good and real desirable. And He's inviting us to come freely to the water and drink. Hallelujah. And in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Will you come and partake of the life of Jesus? Will you turn from death that you may partake of His life? Will you take the cup He offers you today and be joined to Him as His bride? Will you take the marital wine? Will you say yes to Jesus?
Yes.
To the call of God. And that I will keep myself pure. I will save myself. Amen. For the day when I see Jesus. That I may be presented before Him as a chaste virgin. Amen? That has not prostituted itself and gone after, whoring after other gods. But I have kept myself pure for my God. And the day will come, He will say, good, faithful servant, enter in. Well done. Amen? Hallelujah.